SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running on tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius, Channel 159, Lisi in the cockpit tonight, Carver out on assignment, a lot to get to, a lot of college hoops, we're locked, we're loaded. Hopefully we could pick out some winners because early on we're getting knocked around. Right here, but we're going to cover some college basketball. We're going to jump into the NBA games tomorrow. A lot as it relates to Justin Fields potentially on the move. Will he stay? Will he go from Chicago? Maybe in the second hour, a little NFL draft talk. We have you covered from start to finish. Lisi in the cockpit taking you through the next couple of hours. I'll give you an update in regards to the in-game college basketball updates right now at half. St. John's 39-32. They have the lead. I have the under right now in terms of that matchup. 150.5. It's right on the number at halftime. We'll see how this plays out. Florida and Alabama, remember that total last night was 175.5. That total right now is 169.5. Florida with the 41-37 halftime lead. We'll see how that plays out. I was all on the Hurricanes. I said, if you're going to get the Hurricanes' best shot after losing four straight, it was going to come tonight with top-ranked Duke in town. They were catching 5.5. They're getting absolutely boat-raced. Duke up 40-23 at halftime. In-game number right now has Duke as a 15.5, 16-point favorite. I doubled down. I took a shot, 16.5 with the Hurricanes. Right now, down 17, minus 122. Total at 138.5 as we welcome in our SiriusXM radio audience to Carver and Lisi. Lisi in the cockpit tonight. You want to talk college hoops? You want to talk NBA? You want to talk NFL draft? College football, NFL, we got you covered. Give me a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. Some late hoops. One big game in the SEC. They got Kentucky minus 5.5 on the road in Baton Rouge. LSU with the big victory over the weekend over South Carolina. This is back-to-back road games for the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky did cover and get the win on the road in Auburn. Can they do it again? LSU, typically, in basketball, whether good, bad, or ugly, still plays Kentucky very tough. This line opened up at 6.5. It's down to 5.5. I'm actually inclined to jump on the Bayou Bengals here. And the reason why I say that is, we talk about March Madness teams, right? Teams that are built for potentially a run, and everybody loves Coach Cal. It's his last year. He's called the team out. They need better mental adversity and, you know, intensity. They can't. Body language was a big thing about Coach Cal. The problem that I have with certain teams is that I don't care if you're, let's say, 18-12, but if you can win on the road in tough conference environments, that's a team that if they sneak into the tournament, for me, I'm willing to back in regards to making a run. You saw it with San Diego State last year. Teams that play defense, teams that crash the boards, teams that show you a little body English, those are the teams that I want to back. I don't necessarily want to back sharp-shooting teams, and we saw that with Creighton last night. When they're on, they're as good as anybody. They could blow out the New York Knicks if they're hot shooting, right? We know that. They put up 80-plus points in the rout of UConn last night. But when they're cold, they're cold, and they could get run out of the gym just the way they did in regards to the first meeting on the road in UConn, where they only put up 48 points and shot 2 of 17 in regards to three-point land. They live and die by the three. I'd rather back a team that's more of a half-court type of team, team that plays solid defense. Maybe you're not going to have that lights-out perimeter shooter, or you're not going to shoot maybe 40% from three-point land, but they rebound well, and they can win on the road. That's a team potentially that can make a deep run. Florida, I'll tell you, Florida is a team now. They're putting up 41 on Alabama, but they got a tough road win against Georgia. Georgia's a pretty good SEC team in regards to playing at home. They laid 3.5 over the weekend. They got the win. Florida goes on the road now as dogs against Alabama. They pulled this victory out. Those are two quality road wins in conference. That's a team potentially, not a lot of stars, not mentioned in with the likes of Kentucky and Arizona and Purdue and Tennessee. But come tournament time, that's a team potentially that I might want to back should they have value. So keep an eye out. We'll see. We'll get you updated on that game. 41-37, they're just starting the second half. Alabama's still a favorite in that matchup, -4.5 in-game, -113. You want to take a shot on the money line with the Gators, +185, and that total knocked down about 7 points from its opening number at 168.5. So keep an eye out on that. They're underway now, about 19 minutes left in the second half. Illinois was laying 7.5. I talked about it on Coast to Coast with Joe Ranieri today. We know that Penn State kicked off its top scorer. It didn't matter. I still thought that line was a little fishy. Right on the number, 77-70 now. The Illini with the lead still on the pre-tip number at 7.5. -135. A lot of wood to lay for the Illini right now, up 7. They're +790, you want to take a shot on the Nittany Lions to win the ball game outright. 181.5, which they got 147 now. 181.5 is a huge number for that game. 147, that's basically 147, that's 35 points in 7 minutes. As long as it stays under 10, that's a lot of wood. We're talking about 17 baskets. I sort of lean to the under there. It's -104. I know the potential to maybe shoot free throws, but still a lot of wood, I think. 181 is still a huge number with only 7.5 to play in terms of that matchup. Dayton, 38-27. The Flyers are laying 10.5, -114 total. 131 and a hook. +630 on George Mason. I believe Carver liked George Mason in regards to that ball game. And then the one team that I'm going to back tonight, and the line opened up at 4.5, it's up to 6.5, is Memphis. I know Memphis hasn't looked good. I know they've been struggling, laying double digits. They can't even beat Wichita State and teams like that. However, now 4.5, a complete almost readjustment of almost 6 points to where they normally are. I'm willing to take a shot right now on the Tigers. Have it 4.5 and 6.5. We'll come back. We'll talk more college basketball. We'll sprinkle in some NFL later in the show right here on Carver and Lisi. Keep that dial where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's it. College fans. Because we're pounding the pavement on Carver and Lisi. That's it. Let's get dirty. Come on, Hurricanes. That's it. All right. That's it. It's making my stomach turn that the Canes are getting blown out by the Duke Blue Devils right now. All right, quick update in college hoops. Florida up right now, 49-46, trending to the over. I took that at 168.5 and 175.5. We got Notre Dame up 35-28, And we'll give you a quick update right now. St. Bonaventure getting blown out by LaSalle, 66-50. St. John's up 46-39. Second half of that ball game with Georgetown. We have Zach from Iowa. Talk to me, Zach. I thought he was going to talk about the big win for the Hawkeyes last night against Michigan State. How about that? Huh? We talked about it. 9.5-point dogs. Maybe Zach will call back in regards to that. I'll give you an update in regards to Miami. I took them in game 16.5. I mean, Larrañaga and this team are gutless. I mean, it's one thing where you have one of your top scorers out. I get that. But, you know, Duke is ranked eighth in the country. They've won 15 of 17. We understand that they're trending. They're playing well. But if you're Miami, you got to get off the mat. You're 15-11 overall. You've lost four straight. You've lost at home. You've gotten blown out on the road. Last time I backed Miami, they were in a dogfight with Clemson. They had the lead. It was like a 1-2-point game. In 3 minutes, they got blown out, lost the matchup by 17 points, and didn't get the cover. So not sure what Larrañaga has planned, but hopefully they can actually cover the 16.5-point number in-game. We'll keep you updated in regards to that. Illini struggling right now. 5 minutes left, 78-72. We'll see if they can pull that out. That's amazing, too. Illini playing very well, ranked 12th overall. Penn State plays much better at home than they do on the road. They at least cover games at home. On the road, they're a little spotty. We'll keep you updated on that. I did jump in on LSU plus the 5.5, and I'm going to put it with Memphis in-game. So we'll see if Memphis started a little bit slow as usual. We'll see if we can get an in-game number on the Tigers right now. Matias, I need Memphis to step up in a big way. Let me just give you the in-game number. -5.5. They're down 9-8. Jay is in. Jay, talk to me, baby.
Joe, how are you, my Italian friend?
Doing well, doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Good, thank you. I'm glad you're in the cockpit tonight. You're doing well, and Dip Rebell is spinning some tunes there. Very good, very good. There's some hockey tonight. I'm on the hockey, and there's 11 games tomorrow. So I want you to maybe peruse that and give me your cryptocurrency, all-you-can-eat special premium buffet. Smash your bookie play. But we're looking at some games tonight. I'm on Kentucky. In college basketball, I'm on Kentucky, and I'm on UNLV against Air Force at 11.
That's
11 o'clock,
I mean,
minus UNLV. 5.5.
All right, so I'm on the other side. I know that Kentucky stepped up, and typically I'm willing to back the Wildcats, and I understand that they dominated Auburn, but I'm nervous about back-to-back road games. I am nervous because typically I back LSU, like when Wade was there, they played them very tough, but I just feel like from a rivalry perspective, this is a game where maybe Kentucky wins, but they don't cover. I don't know. I took the 5.5. I wish you the best. I mean, again, it's just because, in my opinion, LSU plays them tough no matter how good, bad, or ugly they are. But we'll see. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. UNLV isn't bad. I mean, I like UNLV now. You took a minus. Let me just get the updated number for you.
Minus 5.5.
All right, so they have them on FanDuel right now. You got CLV -6.5. The total is 131.5. So on the road, I mean, Air Force, again, half-court team. I like UNLV, but I like the under even better at 131.5. What do you think about
good.
That?
Good, then take a look.
Play in terms of that.
I like that, and maybe take a look at Anaheim tonight in the late game in hockey. See what you think about that, and give me an opinion on Anaheim if you can.
Yeah, Anaheim. I mean, I told Carver last night. I believe he liked the Ducks, so I'm not going to go against him with that. But I did like the over in that game, over 6.5. That's juiced at -118. I think he sort of liked it too when we had the show yesterday and we talked about it on Coast to Coast. So I think we're both in agreement on the over 6.5 goals. But I do believe that Carver did like Anaheim. I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me on that one. I like the over better than I like a side.
You never know with those Ducks, Joe. I'm a Ducks guy, I got to say. And this team is unpredictable. You know, they could lose 9-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs one game, and then the next game they could win 4-0 in Pittsburgh type of thing. And, you know, they always lose the games they're supposed to win. As a Ducks fan, it makes me, you know, grind my teeth. It makes me squeeze my hair. I do all those things when I'm watching these Anaheim Duck games. And without Trevor Zegras, they're always missing a splash. I just wonder if John Gibson could have a great game, because if John Gibson has a great game, and he usually does, you know, the games go under, you know, because Gibson could just have a spectacular game and win them games literally single-handedly, man. Today against Columbus, how do you think Columbus responds, Joe, after getting smashed in L.A. last night? They're on a back-to-back. They get smashed in L.A. 5-1 yesterday.
That's why I like the over.
At the Staples Center. At Crypto.
That's why I like the over. I don't like a side. I mean, Jay, you could listen to Matias. He has a better gauge on Anaheim than I do, but I like the over. Because they play back-to-back and they got smashed, I think they could score some goals. That doesn't necessarily mean that they cover the goal and a half, or even they're minus 105 on the road. I like the over 6.5, Matias. I'm willing to take that. But that's a 10 o'clock tip.
It's going to be an interesting game. You know, last night Columbus, I felt, played a good hockey game, but just couldn't get the puck in the back of the net. You know, the Kings goalkeeper had a great game last night. Fantastic game. Made save after save after save. And the Kings just put it on him. You know, the Kings could put it on him, put it in the back of the goal. I wonder how the Columbus goalkeeper plays tonight after letting 5 goals in the game. Who they're even starting, man. With these, you know, when a goalkeeper lets up 5 goals in one game, you wonder if maybe it's time to, you know, put the second string in there for a changeup. And the same thing goes for Anaheim. But, you know, as long as Gibson has a good game, you know, the Ducks always have a chance on winning. That's for sure.
All right, so there you go, Jay. And tomorrow, in regards, he wanted me to look at tomorrow's slate for the NHL in regards to Thursday night's action. The one game that stands out for me, and I'm willing to do it, is the Devils laying minus 120 at home over the Rangers. I know the Rangers have won, what, 8 straight? But I think the Devils are a team that match up well against them. Playing at home, you know, even though it's Jersey and New York, it's a rivalry. I lay the minus 120 with the Devils. That's what I like. So we'll come back, take calls, jump into a little off-season football right here on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I wish Willie would give me the shot. This Miami team, I'm playing the name game. They're down 19 to the Dukies. I took them again in game, plus 18.5. I'm a glutton for punishment. Why not? Miami plus the 18.5. Memphis minus the 2.5. They're down 5 to Charlotte at home. And I took the over, Blue Jackets in Anaheim. Even though Matias says the goaltender's great, I don't care. I'm going over 6.5 at minus 118, hoping they get absolutely boat raced. So we'll keep you updated like that. Could Miami keep this within 20? I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're going to get kicked in the chops again? Unbelievable. This Larinaga is so overrated right now. We'll get you up to date in regards to the college basketball as well. I did put in LSU. I told Jay I was against them. I did put it in with Memphis. So I laid the 5.5 pre-tip with Memphis and took the 5.5 with LSU. We'll keep you updated on those games as the night progresses. So, a lot of talk regarding Justin Fields. I don't know if you heard, but he started to unfollow all of the Chicago faithful, all his teammates, the back office, the mascot, and a lot of rumblings out of Chicago. Would Justin Fields be on the move? He all of a sudden started to follow Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. And you know what? I don't blame him. Because if there's one team or organization that potentially derailed Justin Fields' progression, along with the human anchor, Matt Eberflus, it's the Chicago Bears. And all this talk and Bears fans about, oh, you know what, Justin Fields sucks. We want Caleb Williams. Okay, let's just say Caleb Williams is a generational talent. I'm not even going to go into the pros and cons right now. I'll save that maybe potentially for later or a little bit later in the segment. But let's just say Caleb Williams is the generational talent that Chicago Bear fans believe he is, and so much better than Justin Fields. Do you honestly believe the human anchor, Matt Eberflus, and the Chicago Bears that drafted about 12 defensive players last year, okay, to really put the talent around Justin Fields, are all of a sudden going to coach up Caleb Williams to the point where he is an all-pro in year number one, the way DeMeco Ryans did with C.J. Stroud? Completely different organizations, okay? That's number one. Number two, let's look at the lineage of great Chicago Bear quarterbacks. Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl with the 85 Bears defense that was as dominant as any team in creation, okay? And they have one of the best running backs in the history of the game, if not the best, in Sweetness and Walter Payton. Okay, so you've had Jim McMahon, Rex Grossman, who went to a Super Bowl with Lovie Smith, and you had Jay Cutler that couldn't win a big game outside a regular season and put up dynamic number. That is the lineage, okay, of Chicago Bear quarterbacks. And you draft Justin Fields, who, by the way, had a 70% completion percentage at Ohio State in his junior year and took the Buckeyes to the national championship game. Granted, it was during the COVID year, only six regular season games, but he still played very well against Alabama with no pieces around him. And your top wide receiver was DJ Moore, the one-hit wonder that Justin Fields has had games where he's thrown multiple touchdowns with one wide receiver, okay? That's number one. Number two, for those that think DJ Moore is this elite wide receiver, he's good, he's not elite. He's not Jamar Chase, he's not Justin Jefferson. Who else do you want to go to? Who else in terms of pure number one? He's not a C.D. Lamb. Stop. He's not A.J. Brown. He's not Devontae. Can we stop? He's a good wide receiver. He's not a pure number one. Okay, so suggesting that DJ Moore is the, you know, the best wide receiver that you could put around Justin Fields is absolutely asinine. Okay, he's good. And he had a very good 1,000-yard season, and Justin Fields was his main, you know, the quarterback-to-wide-receiver relationship was there. Darnell Mooney, just because he runs a 4-2 and played at Tulane, was an absolute joke. And Cole Kmet is not Travis Kelce. So stop. And suggesting that Matt Eberflus is going to coach up Caleb Williams if he's in that offense. Matt Eberflus shakes if he has to call two play calls in a row. And that's why Getsy couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. But now, because they got Caleb Williams, everything's going to change from an organizational standpoint. Can you stop? And if you draft Caleb Williams, you're hoping that he could potentially maybe be where Justin Fields is in year one, because there's going to be growing pains. Caleb Williams is not going to hit the ground running, okay, and have a C.J. Stroud type of year. You know why? Because Caleb Williams struggled towards the end of the regular season with potentially top five talent around him from an offensive perspective at USC. Okay? Pop in the tape against Notre Dame. He threw three interceptions. Pop in the tape against better competition. He fell off a cliff last year. Does he have upside? Absolutely. But so did Justin Fields have just as much upside as Caleb Williams. Okay? So this plug-and-play type of situation is not going to happen with the personnel that Chicago has. You're hoping that he could duplicate what Justin Fields did this year. That's number one. Number two, Matt Eberflus is not going to be the head coach in 2025. That's a guarantee, because unless Chicago goes 12-5 overall, Eberflus is out the door. And then you're wasting a draft pick on Caleb Williams with the hopes of getting an offensive-minded coach in there to coach him up. So you should have just kept Justin Fields gotten an offensive guru, drafted some offensive weapons like Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers to go with DJ Moore, and maybe you would have something. I don't blame Justin Fields one bit. For a run-heavy team, Khalil Herbert, they've all had this mentality of run first and throw later. Look at the progression of Jordan Love. You know why Jordan Love was one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFC, if not all of the NFL? And you want to talk about it from November until the playoff run? He threw 23 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and he averaged 275 passing yards per game because he had offensive weapons around him. He had a running back that could catch the football in Aaron Jones. He had multiple weapons. Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Bo Melton. The list goes on and on and on. Dontavian Wicks. I mean, they had playmakers that stepped up. Young wide receivers that Jordan Love could develop with. And that's not what Justin Fields has. He has a good wide receiver number one for that team, but not a pure elite number one like multiple teams have. And that is the problem. He's not Cooper Kupp. He's not DJ Moore. He's not Puka Nacua. And all. And I know he had similar numbers, but put DJ Moore into any other offense, he's not putting up Justin Jefferson numbers. I said it, nobody else. So, Bear fans, pump the brakes. This Caleb, I want Caleb. Enough already. You watch one game for USC where Caleb Williams is beating up on San Jose State and you think he's the savior of the franchise. What happens when he was a deer in the headlights and he was running for his life in South Bend and he was throwing the football away when he was under pressure? But he didn't have an offensive line, Joe. Yeah, I know. What do you think he's going to have in terms of the NFL? You think he's going to have the best offensive line? Because Justin Fields didn't have it. Stop. Florida starting to boat race Alabama, 63-57. That right now is a $1.20 they're on. Can they get to 175.5? That remains to be seen. Memphis with the lead. Here come the Tigers crawling back on their fingernails. 25-24. And this Miami team, I swear. Down 58-39, they need to make a mini run to get this to at least 10. Hopefully they can play some defense. No in-game number. It's off the board right now. Providence down 8 against Xavier, about 9 minutes left. And St. John's with a 14-point lead over Cooley and the Hoyas right now. That total, I was on the under. Hopefully they could kill that. I thought that if you're going to get a defensive effort, it would come after Patino calls the team out. Right now, 65-53. They're at a 118. So they are basically 33 points, 119. They're 37, 38 points away from potentially that over. Hopefully, because it is a double-digit lead, we burn clock and we get out of Dodge. 127 now, 67-60. Florida with the lead over Alabama. In-game number right now for the Gators. They are... Get that when we come back. Florida, -3.5. 5.5, excuse me. We'll come back. More NFL on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi. Quick updates on the basketball. Duke up 61-42 on Miami. Memphis up 27-26. Georgetown up 68-59. Dayton in a dogfight now. Carver might have been right. George Mason tied with Dayton. About 6:25 left. Dayton -1.5 on the road total. 133 and a hook. Kentucky about to tip in about 20 minutes. -5.5 total there is 162.5. And Illinois losing. Yes, Illinois. -7.5-point favorites on the road with Penn State's top scorer kicked off the team. The Nittany Lions have the lead 90-89, trying to get a time on there. I think it's under 5 minutes. No line right now, locked out on FanDuel, so we'll keep you updated as the night progresses. Also, Xavier up 28-19 on Providence. Might want to jump in on that. Florida 72-66 over Bama. They're a 3.5-point favorite total. Now trending upward, higher than the pre-tip, 176.5. So about 7:23 left. Miami dead and buried. They're catching 21.5, down 23 to Duke. This Larrañaga, I don't want to hear about this guy anymore. All right, he's gutless. I know he was great last year. They made this mini run. They get to the Final Four, yada, yada, yada. Getting kicked in the chops now. This is the fifth straight night. I don't care that their best player is gone. This team absolutely sucks, okay? Down 25 now, 67-42, completely gutless, can't rebound, can't score. It doesn't matter whether they're playing Duke, Virginia, who else did they lose to? Clemson, this team, Boston College, Miami, get real. Really, get a spine and step up. Same thing for Miami football. And that's a shout out to Cristobal. Your number's 9.5 this year. You don't get over that, you're on the hot seat. I said it, nobody else. You don't get to 10 wins, I don't want to hear Mario big chest. Okay, you got Cam Ward in town. Step up and make a play. All right? Unbelievable with these guys. Collecting a paycheck and you know, mediocrity at its best. And they don't even care if they win or lose anymore. They just want to, you know, just play out the string and collect millions of dollars. Amazing. There is a report, and if you want to talk NFL, college, I don't care. Give me a call. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. In second hour, I'm going to have my good friend Terry Bowden join us, talk about the college football landscape, get his feelings about the coaching landscape as well. Kenny Dillingham made some comments. I'll get coaches' thoughts about Chip Kelly moving on and obviously some of the other coaches that have moved on. See what he thinks the current landscape is in regards to recruiting and some NIL when we get back. But there is a report that had circulated heading into the combine, which is a couple of weeks away, that the Texans potentially are in the market for Saquon Barkley to upgrade the running back position. Now, they had Damian Pierce and they had Singletary that did step up in the loss against Baltimore, not on the ground but through the air, did catch for like 40 yards in that ball game. But the potential to maybe put a dynamic, versatile running back behind C.J. Stroud, ultimate pass catcher, that could put and stress defenses on the perimeter is just an added dimension to how D'Amico Ryans and this staff, Bobby Slowick, are actually evolving and building this offense. And this is important as well when you think about progression. And I'm, you know, when no matter who you like at quarterback, and I have my favorites and everybody else has their favorites, but I'm just going to say this in regards to quarterbacks that have made it and ones that haven't. Yes, there are some circumstances where guys come into the league, they don't watch game film a la Johnny Manziel. They could care less. They have off-the-field issues. We've seen that with a number of different players. Ryan Leaf back in the day, and obviously DeMarcus Russell. And you know, they're now straightening out their lives, but back when they were drafted, struggled, right? It doesn't matter who you're drafting, but if you're going to draft a quarterback and he's going to be the face of the franchise, you have to put him in a position to excel according to his strengths. And that's what they did in regards to C.J. Stroud. They found out what C.J. Stroud did well. He was a prototypical dropback passer at Ohio State. He was mobile, but didn't really utilize that versatility the way Justin Fields or even Lamar Jackson did, or Jalen Hurts, any of the mobile quarterbacks in college. He was basically a prototypical dropback passer. Slowick and D'Amico Ryans built that offense around C.J. Stroud's strengths. They also surrounded him with multiple players that could help him evolve and progress. A young wide receiver core with a veteran in terms of Nico Collins that had bounced around multiple teams. Nico Collins, they drafted Xavier Hutchinson, they drafted Tank Dell. Tank Dell was one of the most prolific wide receivers at Houston. We stepped up with Clayton Toon. Xavier Hutchinson was one of the most prolific pass catchers out of Iowa State. They surrounded him with weapons. Dalton Schultz, which was the security blanket for Dak Prescott for years, coming out of the tight end position. They put players around C.J. Stroud to help him evolve and help him progress, but they also put him into a scheme that was similar to what he had at Ohio State, where the reads and the progression, he was able to get acclimated very quickly and progress. And then they added more to his plate as the season went on. Why is that important? Because on the flip side, you see what Carolina had with Bryce Young, and where Frank Reich struggled is Frank Reich's way or no way. And they failed to put Bryce Young in a position where, and Bryce Young did have some weaknesses, I'm not suggesting he didn't, but right from the get-go, they forced him into positions that he wasn't really comfortable in terms of his days at Tuscaloosa. He played out of a lot of shotgun. He played with a lot of five wide. He played with certain sets. He played with a pass-catching running back in terms of Jahmyr Gibbs that he could dump the football off to in terms of multiple sets where you could create one-on-one opportunities. They failed to put the personnel around Bryce Young the way Houston did around C.J. Stroud. And I'm not suggesting that that's why Bryce Young failed. That is part of the reason why Bryce Young failed. The other part was he wasn't ready. He was not ready for the NFL grind, and hopefully he can get there this year. However, if you're going to draft Caleb Williams, you're going to draft Jaden Daniels, you're going to draft Drake May, and I'm not suggesting all three of those are equal, but no matter who you take, you need to put these quarterbacks into a position that it benefits their strengths. And it also is similar to the types of offenses and schemes that they had in college. Because you limit the growing pains, number one, and number two, they're easily acclimated and they can get used to the play calls. That's the two most important things, in my opinion, why quarterbacks struggle. The other thing, too, is not surrounding them with multiple weapons to grow or evolve as an offensive unit. It's one thing if you're trying to have a rookie quarterback with veteran wide receivers. I'd much rather have a rookie quarterback with younger, inexperienced wide receivers where they could all develop and go on the same page. Just what you see in terms of Houston. Just what you see in regards to similar types of other offenses that have evolved. That is the difference, I think. Jordan Love is a prime example. Jordan Love and Houston are two prime examples where they've had younger quarterbacks with younger wide receiver talent where they could all develop and they could all develop as a cohesive unit with the quarterback to wide receiver relationship. And that's the most important thing. When you look at these quarterbacks in the draft, I think you want to make the assessment that there's two top ones. I'll say that that's perfect. I think you could, if you want, for whatever reason you like them or don't like them, I think it's Jaden Daniels and I think it's Caleb Williams. I potentially have Caleb 2, Jaden Daniels 1. But that's my personal opinion. I think it's a significant drop off from some of the others. I don't believe Drake May should be thrown into the conversation. And the reason why I believe that is because of twofold. Mitch Trubisky struggled, Sam Howell struggled, and Drake May, I believe, will struggle. And Drake May not only struggled or will struggle in the NFL, but Drake May struggled in college back-to-back years. against mediocre competition, against non-elite defenses like Virginia, against non-elite defenses towards the end of the year. That has been the problem of Drake May. He compiled a lot of stats against average competition, and then as the season progressed with the season and just the season wearing on you, he fell off and his productivity tailed off in back-to-back years. And I think you're going to see the same in terms of the NFL. And if you're the Washington Commanders or you're the New England Patriots and you have a choice to make between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, I don't even think it's close. I think Jaden Daniels should be taken over Drake May in a heartbeat. I potentially can make the argument that Bo Nix should be taken over Drake May in a heartbeat. I'd much rather have Bo Nix in terms of what he's done in Oregon, in terms of that progression, than what Drake May has done in back-to-back years at North Carolina. That's just a personal assessment. You have to take that into account. You can't just take the pro day. You just can't take the physical attributes, how far he could throw a football. You have to look at the game film and how he stepped up or did not step up against elite competition. And that is the difference, okay? If you want to throw Mahomes' college career into everything, Pat Mahomes led all the FBS on a sub-500 team that was engineered by Cliff Kingsbury, that was under 500, that had one of the worst offensive lines where Pat Mahomes was running for his life throughout his career in Lubbock and still threw for 5,000 yards and led all of FBS for back-to-back seasons. That is the difference. That is the difference when you look at Pat Mahomes, when you look at some of these other guys. Drake May, in my opinion, not even close. Not even close. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one right here on Culver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'll say it again. I'm going to continue to beat this drum. This Larinaga, I don't know. The kids quit in the final 5 minutes. Every game now, they're down 27 now. They went, you know, it was playing on 20. They can't even outscore the scrubs for Duke. That's how bad this team is. They're getting boat raced by 29. 82-53. Get real. I can't believe that. Get real. Terrible performance. They're dead to me. I'm never betting Miami again right now. I'm telling you that right now. Maybe if they sneak into the tournament, but they absolutely suck. Memphis starting to extend right now. In-game numbers -8.5. So hopefully Memphis 40-35 at halftime. So they're looking good. They trailed for much of the first half, stepped it up. I like Providence, and I'm going to jump on the Friars +6.5. And you know what? I'm going to lay the 8.5 with Memphis. I believe that's the right side. Put it in a parlay. We'll see how it plays out. 5.5 for Providence. I got a bad number, of course. And I laid the 8.5 with the Tigers. I think they could blow out Charlotte. So we'll keep you updated. And I also have Memphis minus the 5.5 and LSU plus the 5.5. So we'll keep you updated throughout the night in regards to that. Some football talk. We talked Houston. We talked Chicago. I'll get you updated on some of the hockey. If you took the over in the Blackhawk game, which was 7.5 before they dropped the puck, you're not bad. 3-1 right now, Flyers lead. About 5 minutes in, 5 minutes left for the second. So you got some life. It was 1-1 after one. Much of the second period was scoreless, and then the Flyers just broke through. Second hour coming up next. Coach Bowden, college football, NFL. We are rocking and rolling on Carver and Lisi, baby. See you in a couple.